Hello, winning girl. How are you? It's been a while. It's a beautiful raining morning in my city, and I am so excited because it's the right and perfect atmosphere. It's giving the right vibes that is required for the conversation that we're having today. But before we move on to that, how has the season been for you? For me, it's been a season of rapid growth and rest. The beauty of my season is in the balance of both, and it's been a little struggle for me on the aspect of rest. I am having to lean into grace to embrace rest in all its ramification. So I'm always on the growth bus when it's time for personal development, being a better version of myself. I'm always on that bus. I'm always waving the flag. And, you know, there's a little stretch here and there. God is saying, oh, I want you to, I'm trusting you with this. Take this to another level. And then just another time is saying, you know what, drop everything and come over here. I actually don't know how to drop everything and come over here. So it's been a little struggle, and I'm really trusting God. I believe it's a mental programming. It's a call to unlearning my previous or backlog of information or learnings that I have about rest. It means that I have to purify my thoughts and perspective about what rest is. The God of the revival is the God of the rest. So if God is saying, yes, I am strengthening you, I'm putting, heating up the revival in this aspect, I am also the one telling you, come and spend time with me, take time off. So it's a struggle, and I believe that I'm going to lean into grace and be carried into God's mind for me concerning rest. So how has it been for you? I want you to send in your voice messages, send in your comments. I'm so excited, and I really want to read through everything that has been happening with you in this season. Yeah, so let's get right into it. Have you been on the Winning Girl page lately? Oh, you should. So, this week, John started a conversation with us. It's a conversation about love. Who likes love? I do. In 1 John 3:1, John was telling us about what blows his mind about God's love. And in the Winning Girl translation, it says, I'm going to personalize it so you can as well. It says, I'm in awe of God's love for me. He gave me the privilege to be his kid. That's not who I'm about to be. It's who I am already. Wow. I thought about it, and I realized that this moment is a wow moment for John. He was sharing based on personal knowledge. I mean, this is John the Beloved. He had a clingy relationship. John wasn't the guy that loves Jesus but doesn't really show it or shows it when he wants. He shows it every time. John was a clingy guy. He was always putting his head on Jesus' shoulder, on his laps. I'm very sure in my head, I just think through that moment. I feel like the other disciples are always like, what's always wrong with this guy? Why is he always like this? But you know, the guy knows that God loves him. He knows that Jesus loves him. And he couldn't help it. He would always be on Jesus, around Jesus, holding Jesus. And you know, it's not surprising that he gets to talk about love. So I asked in the community if you were to drop a review about God's services as a loving father. What experience will you share? If you were to fill in the gap of 1 John 3:1, what will your story be If you were the one writing, "I'm in awe of God's love for me," what would be your next statement? For John, what was mind-blowing for him is that he has the privilege to be the child of God. So what would your own experience be? How do you know God loves you? Is it just based on the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so"? Beyond the general knowledge, what's your personal experience? So I had to throw that ball to myself first. I was thinking about it. Damlala, how do you know that God loves you? And then I realized that in the past 3 months, it has been my cogitation. It's been my meditation. I've been thinking about things that really prove that prove that God loves me. And for me, I am in awe of God's love because I see how He knows my tendencies, yet He entrusts me with huge privileges. He gives me opportunities even though I'm a work in progress. For someone like me, I'm very creative. I have the gift of creativity. I have a gift of administrative. I have an administrative strength. I have the ability to conceive ideas, not just conceive like waiting for ideas to come. I have access to creative portals. I don't have to stress to be creative. It's a natural thing. And then it doesn't stop there. I have the strength to create the structures and systems to execute in a very phenomenal way. So now that creativity, I remember starting out with God. Whenever I have the privilege or the opportunity to be creative, it comes with a tendency to be proud. But then every time God keeps giving me the creative power, every single time giving me creative power, but then when I initiate it, when I engage it, it automatically comes with the tendency to be proud. So I'm in awe of the fact that God knows how easy it is for me to be proud. Yet He gives me the privilege to wield creative power. And I'm like, why do you do that? I mean, I want to be creative, but I don't mean to feel myself. I don't mean to feel superior, but it's somewhere there. It's somewhere there. So I'm like, since doing something creative puts me in a position where I am tempted to be proud, you're supposed to make it stop, right? So I'm like, why do you always do this? It feels like a punishment. And God said, no, I'm testing my product. I'm nurturing humility in you. It's okay. Before you discover that was there, I saw it. And you initiating the creative power that I have given to you is like that sounding board that helps you know that this is also there. And it gives me the opportunity to ask you that, okay, can we work on that together? And you know, for me, that's mind-blowing. God is not the father that shows off the best sons and keep the struggling one at the backyard, despite the fact that he sees that, okay, she has the tendency to be proud because she doesn't struggle with creativity. She's always having ideas. She's always hop on that game. He's fine with that as long as I see pride as something that is not mine. So, and he's not going to say, oh, because you're struggling with this, I'm not going to give you opportunities. Just stay in the back scene and all of that. God is not the father that shows up the best sons or the best daughters and keep the struggling one at the back. He identifies the work He needs to do in us, but He does not identify the work as us. He does not say, okay, this issue is you. No. He identifies it as a work that He needs to do in us. And then He does something mind-blowing. He asks for permission to get the work done. God is the landlord that takes permission from the tenant to fix the busted pipe. It's really mind-blowing for me. And it's not just in that aspect of creativity, even different aspects, different things that God is highlighting and saying, this is something that I want to work on in you, but I'm not waiting for you to be all perfect before I involve you in the things that I am doing. So for me, it's mind-blowing, honestly, to see how loving God is, how he doesn't treat me based on the personal struggles that I have. And that has been like my wow moment. It has been like, you know, my treasured experiences with God, saying that, oh wow, you really love me. You really love me, and I am really grateful. So, you know, we are supposed to have those moments where we meditate and we think through, not just paying attention to scriptures because they are statements. What's the reality in our lives? If you look at the Winning Girl page, there's a confession there, the winning words. It says that the love of God is real to me. It's not just a statement in the Bible. It's not just the title of a sermon. It's not just the slogan of a church. It's the story of my life. It's the story of my life. The love of God has to be the story of our lives. We have to get to the point where we can boldly say, like John, that I am in awe of God's love because of this. Not just because John talked to me about love. Not just because the title of the message I listened to yesterday is love. Not just because my church says we love you. No, the love of God is the story of my life. I can tick those boxes and say, yes, these are testaments to the fact that God loves me. And this is the story of everyone, even though we don't realize it every time. I mean, I know that there are so many girls all over the world who have not even come to the place where they can boldly say that God loves them. I remember that there was a time that I couldn't say that as well. I remember there was a time that I just wondered that if God loves me, then why would he allow me to go through this? I mean, he must definitely hate me. That's why he allowed me go through this, have this childhood experiences. And I just felt that, okay, if he doesn't love me, then let me just do my own thing. So, but that's not who God is. God is not to be blamed for the different factors in our lives. And in growing in my walk with him, I came to a place where I realized that he is not to be blamed for all those experiences. And I am taking it all in, embracing God as Father, which is what the Winning Girl is about. We're doing all that we can. All that we do is wrapped around our motive, which is to help every girl embrace and maximize the fatherhood of God, because it's the foundation of every other expressions of God. If we don't embrace God as a father, we can't maximize him as a leader, as a judge. We can't maximize him as a king. We can't maximize him as any other thing, because if we don't know God as a father and a father who loves, we will always, when he's sending us out there, when he's, you know, the leader, the commander in chief, when he is the king and he's exercising his authority and giving us commands, we will not embrace that through the lens of love. It's very important that we know that God loves us, and we have experiences in our lives that are marked by the love of God. If you are in a place right now where you feel like, you know what, there's nothing in my life that proves to me that God loves me. I just have experiences that are not so nice. My heart goes out to you, and I believe that my sisters all over the world, the winning girls, are literally, you know, thinking about how we can love upon you, because God loves you, and we would pray for you that the love of God will become so real to you. The love of God will become so real to you. God will begin to open your eyes to the signposts in your life that is marked by His love, because He really, really loves you. God loves you. I know that life can be I don't want to use the word hard. Life can be surprising sometimes, and things go the way we don't plan. But God is faithful, because He has said it, that He works everything in according to His will. God works everything, and everything works together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. But for you to be able to love God, you have to first of all embrace His love. You have to receive His love. How do we receive His love? We receive His love by receiving His Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. So when we receive Jesus, the love of God will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so the more we receive the Holy Spirit, the more we engage Him, the more the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The more we begin to see, oh, God really loves me, the more we begin to grow in that love. And one of my favorite scriptures is in Ephesians 3:17. It talks about how, and this is Paul saying that we can, the love of God is beyond what we can imagine. But we have the opportunity, alongside with every believer in the world, to have, you know, not just a taste, to be overwhelmed by this love. We have the privilege to be overwhelmed by this love. We have the privilege to enjoy the love of God, to maximize and explore its length, its breadth, its width, its height, because it's beyond what anyone can imagine. At this moment, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you, and I want to just say, dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us the privilege to be partakers of your love. Thank you for my sisters all over the world that will listen to this podcast. Thank you, because your love will be so real to them, they will not be able to keep it to themselves. Thank you, because at this moment, you're moving within us, stirring our hearts to see how much you love us. I pray for the wounded. I pray for the broken. I pray for the indifferent one. I pray for the one who has given up on love, that they will love again in the name of Jesus. Give us the opportunity to love again. Overwhelm us with your love. Help us to receive your love irrespective of our past disappointments and the experiences that we have had before now. I pray in the name of Jesus that your love will heal us, your love will empower us, and your love will strengthen us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. At this moment, we just want to say we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening in today. I'm so excited to be back. This will be often. I will not be able to do a podcast for next week because I have a church conference. But definitely the next week after, that's the upper week, I'll be back with something exciting, because the Holy Spirit is already stirring it in my heart. And I look forward to it. But before then, stay in a place of love. Be around people who love you for you and for who God has called you to be. I love you.